Okay, live streaming is on. We have Wednesday, the 9th of April, 2025. And this, we are those darn Schaefer kids. My sister Monica and myself, Alfred Schaefer. And this is our second show, and we're still learning. We're on a steep learning curve how to operate the system on FTJ Media, which is a fine platform and has huge potential. I'm very impressed, but we're still learning. It's like going to into a big school, you know, and you're kind of green behind the ears and not really sure what to do. That's where we are today. But we have a lot of things we want to talk about, and I'm going to hand it over to Monica right now. So, Monica, I'm glad you could make it, and thanks for your patience. It took us a while to get this thing running, but we have it online now. So, Monica, it's yours.
Hey, congratulations, Alfred. I'm so glad that you're the one doing the tech work behind the scenes. There was Josh helping you out, and we did want to express our gratitude again for the people at FTJ Media. Yes, this is episode 2 of Those Darn Schaefer Kids, and we could have the subtitle for today's show. The main theme for today's broadcast will be reverse engineering current events, specifically Canada's so-called genocide, to better understand the Holocaust, or the holo-hoax, shall we say, inspired by Alfred's video in his brilliant brainwashing series. And this particular video was entitled Reverse Engineering 9/11 for a Better Understanding of the Holo Hoax. Now, we do have a couple of housekeeping items, you could call them, before we get into the meat of that. And one of those, last time in episode 1, we did make some statements of gratitude to people along the way who have helped us. And one very important person that I neglected to thank, and I wish to correct that now, and make up for that, is Giuseppe Vaffanculo. And I think he's still live on air right now, so I'll have to send him a little note and tell him that, you know, he could go back and listen to this, because we were going to do our show following his. And then what happened is last time the time change was all confused because Europe hadn't yet gone on to that summertime, and we had. And so Alfred set it up for to start like actually 11 o'clock Pacific. And normally we're going to follow Giuseppe, just follow right after him, because he also did a nice promo for us. And then he said he would send his people over to our show. But today we're kind of overlapping a little bit. But I did want to say thank you. We both really appreciate his gracious. He was very gracious in promoting our show and sending his viewers over to us. And on that note, I think Alfred and I both feel immense gratitude to all the people who have kind of mentored us and inspired us along the way, and hosted us on. So many people have hosted us on their platforms, their shows, and invited us to their shows, that we're very, very grateful for all of them. So that was that part. And Alfred, we discuss a little bit about that comment before we get into the meat of today's show, this reverse engineering topic, which is a very interesting topic, because I'm telling you, we have something big going on in Canada right now, unfolding before our very eyes. But before we get into that, we were going to follow up on a comment that was left under our episode 1. And actually, I haven't checked lately if there's more comments, but this was left, you know, a couple of weeks ago after we did our last show. And it was a kind of a hard-hitting, very critical comment, the one about being surprised or not appreciating if we sort of give kudos to some of the Jews who have spoken out before us. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, I'll do that. You know, this is since we have been so completely and totally fully indoctrinated for hundreds of years, these layers of indoctrination go so deep, so far back in our own history here. And, you know, people have often said in the past that that those people whom the Jews convert to do their bidding are actually worse by magnitudes than most Jews are. And if you really, so many, like, I know we grew up in a very Catholic household, Monica, and we know the severity under which our parents, like especially our dad, grew up being raised Catholic. And then when you think of it, I just want to tell you about this one Jesuit guy who spoke out, I think probably 15 or 20 years ago. And he says, you know, the Vatican is really the center of the total control of this planet. The Jesuits are like the Jesuits are taught to be the Jew amongst the Jews, you know, like be even more stringent and disciplined than any Jew is in this work of deceiving and so forth. And so many of our great philosophers in the past have concluded that this whole Christian indoctrination has magnified the Jewish power by like tenfold or something like that, like just by magnitudes, because the whole Christian indoctrination teaches one to be a good sheep being led to the slaughterhouse kind of thing. The Jews are out there with a vengeance, and the so-called Christians are being taught, you know, hit me on my right cheek and I'll show you my left cheek, and love your enemies more than yourself and all this kind of stuff. It's sort of like when you marinate your steak to make it more tender to eat. That's what they have done to us with this indoctrination. So my way of looking at all of this is from the perspective of myself, as having been, I worked for IBM all my life and saw how the operating systems and the hardware evolved from that, what it was when I started, to that, what it was when I left the company. Retired, and no computer is capable of doing anything at all without having an operating system installed in it. And the operating system can keep being modified and keep being updated. And people, well, you can see in the small computer world now, you can have an Android system, you can have an Apple system, you can have all kinds of, you know, Linux or a Microsoft, heaven forbid. But see, all these different operating systems are required for making the hardware understand what it's supposed to do with the data in, you know, and what it's supposed to do with that and to process it. And that's what the indoctrination that we have been subjected to is, sort of like the operating system in these computers. And then one thing that is very, very fundamental in this manipulation of our behavior and this and these deceptions is the subject of money. What money actually is. Money is really, it's nothing, but yet it is everything. In our society, you could be the most intelligent, healthy person on this planet, and yet if you're plopped in the middle of our society somewhere in our civilization and you don't have a thing called money, then you are nothing. And then all these invaders coming in are handed money for doing nothing, and they will be entitled to all kinds of things, food, housing, everything in the world. And yet if you were plopped here, were absolute, a perfect human being, super intelligent, super athletic, super healthy, but didn't have money, that people would look at you as being the sort of a scum, although you are in fact a very superior being if you're, you know, a superstar in athletics and all that kind of stuff. So this is the this complete fake and artificial role that money plays in our civilization when we are, you know, more than just hunter or gatherers. We need that kind of thing as a placeholder for our real value. And this manipulation is what the Jew has mastered for thousands of years, okay? And if we have people that are born into a Jewish community, they are conditioned and programmed to be real psychopaths. It starts with the males being on day 8, they get their foreskin nibbled off or chewed off in a very traumatizing event for them. It's a very traumatizing event for them. And that destroys any the empathy and trust that they had. I mean, the trauma of birth is also a very traumatizing event. I mean, for the mother, it sometimes means death if there's any complications. For the infant, it can mean death. So if they both make it through the birth, you know, that's a trauma. And just as this little individual has finally found some comfort in this, after this trauma of going from the womb, you know, hearing the heartbeat of the mother, you know, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, and hearing the mother's voice in sort of a muffled way. I mean, the baby is absorbing all these sensual things, you know, like they can hear things already and sense things, doesn't know what's going on, goes through this trauma of birth. Just as the baby is feeling comfortable having gone through this, then on day eight, he's taken out of his mother's arms, subjected to a real trauma, which if you do it similar things to dogs, for example, that's why it's forbidden to do these things. The dog will be, it'll be a misfit, you know, more or less. Dog, it'll affect everybody a little bit differently. But some dogs will just become real nasty, evil dogs with no trust to anybody, just nervous, wretched, distrustful beings. And that's what happens to these Jews. They are conditioned to be the psychopaths that the tribe needs them to be in order to do what is waiting for them later in life. For example, injecting people with a bioweapon and grinning them in their face and saying, oh, this, you need this for coronavirus. It's bad. No, there's no such thing as a coronavirus. It's just utter nonsense. But the mission was to get these people injected with a bioweapon, which will kill them maybe immediately, or maybe in 5 years, or maybe in 10 years, or maybe just disable their ability to think, you know, and on the list goes. So the Jew... So this operating system, this bad programming is what we are dealing with. And if you take a Christian or a Jew or any Muslim who is so programmed to just be like a robot zombie behaving the orders of the Talmud or you know, they're I mean, in the Quran, they're supposed to kill the unbelievers also, just like the Jews. So this is all nonsense for us. We cannot survive on this planet as a technological species with this, the level of technology that we have developed, with this kind of superstitious nonsense out of the darkest Middle Ages. You know, this is our real problem. So sometimes if somebody is astounded because I am protecting or speaking up for a good Jew, it's because these people, they were born into a situation not of their choosing. And because of their own upbringing in the synagogues, for example, they have got a deeper and better understanding of what nonsense they are being taught there, and also understand the dangerous path, the dangerous trajectory that they have been put on. And then if they still are able to think independently and detach themselves, you know, liberate themselves, free themselves from this indoctrination, they will also understand that this is a sure trajectory to death, to be hunted down and chased down and clubbed to death openly in the street. That's why the Jews will even say, if the Goyim knew what we are teaching in our synagogues, they would slaughter us openly in the streets. Yeah, because they know it. You see, so they're willfully, deliberately doing to us what they do because they think they can get away with it. But they say amongst themselves, if the Goyim knew what we are teaching our people in the synagogues, they would slaughter us openly in the streets. Well, guess what, Jews? We know now what you are doing and teaching and what your intentions are. And you're not going to get out of this, okay? The cat is out of the bag. It's no secret anymore. So that is why we have to leave a safety valve for those Jews who understand this to come out now. You don't know when the point of no return, you know, when you pass by that point, and you will be hunted down just for being a fucking kike. Sorry if I said it that way, but that is you cannot imagine the hatred, the rage that is developing now. And there's a point after which you can cry and beg and do whatever you want, but you will be hunted down and killed. I'm not saying I agree with this or agreeing with that or disagreeing with it, but it's the same as I always say, a horsefly lands on your arm. That horsefly that lands on your arm has never, ever done anything to you. It's completely innocent, but you know that what the horsefly will do if you let him just be. So you slap him dead before he has a chance to prove to you that it's a horsefly. Now, Jews have been taught to do what they are doing to us, which is kill the best of the goyim. Well, killing the best of the goyim eventually kills all of the goyim, okay? Because if you were only 10th best today and the other 9 are killed because they're better than you, then you're the best one, and then you're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. That is why it was the Germans that were supposed to be exterminated. We know the Hutten plan, the Morgenthau plan, all these different plans. After the Germans were supposed to have been exterminated, they would have just continued with the rest of the white race. But then they realized, oh, it's impractical to exterminate all the Germans, so we could sterilize them all. That was the plan with I think it was Morgenthau or one of those plans, the Hutten maybe it was, you know, with 20,000 doctors, you could sterilize all the population in Germany within a year or something like that.
Kaufmann.
The Kaufmann plan, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, why does somebody like Donald Trump, who is supporting this genocidal agenda to have us exterminated, why is he doing that? Is he that stupid? Does he really himself want to be hunted down and killed? I mean,
That's a whole another conversation, Alfred. I mean, I think we agree that Trump is not on our side, is not our friend. I mean, he's totally on the other side.
Oh,
but just circling back to that comment, it was a legitimate comment. And I think that the point of it is that we don't need to be explain things by Jews. We don't need the Jew-splaining anymore.
Yes.
That's kind of an expression.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. So I was delighted to hear your reaction to it when I pointed the comment out to you, because you know, we're humble people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I learned firsthand about the so-called good Jews in Jasper when I had become the heretic who suddenly went from being a very, what they called a community leader in a small town of 5,000 people, where I was well known. I had been there many, many years, decades, in fact, and I had basically worn a few different hats. You know, I had always advocated for to make the world a better place, like for the environment, for social justice. You know, I know that term now is kind of viewed like I always wanted to make things better. And of course, I was sometimes really going down the wrong path because of being still under the spell of the deceptions, like, for example, the Green Party. That's a whole nother story, and I've talked about it many times, which, you know, I call them the watermelon party now. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. But anyway, what happened there was the whole town basically did a thing called ritual defamation when I suddenly came out with that little video, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust, and people were so shocked that they thought, wow, like, you know, we liked Monica before. This is evil. And they really jumped on a bandwagon. It became a mob. Jasper turned into a mob mentality place, groupthink. If people were not comfortable with it, instead of coming to my support, they just slinked away and stayed quiet because they would otherwise be fired from their job or whatever if they even spoke a word in support of me. I was told that years later, you know, like last summer. I've talked about that too, running into people who were evacuated out of Jasper because of the fire. And then they're really friendly to me. And they said, you know, I wanted to speak up for you, but I couldn't because I would have been fired from my job. And somebody who just works at a hotel or something, not even a professional. But anyway, people who I never even thought to question their background, like, is this a Jew? Is that a Jew? Or I didn't even think about those things, Alfred. It was not the way I was going around thinking about the world or about people. And then I came to the realization that These people go tribal when you challenge their religion of Holocaustianity. They go tribal and they become the ring leaders. And they did. And there were people who, I didn't know that was a Jew. And then it came out that they were. And not that it was only the Jews who mobbed up against me. No, it was not everybody. There were some who, like I say, they either stayed quiet or I had not even a handful of friends who openly stuck by me. But anyway, so they go tribal when their religion is challenged. And this street level Jew or just somebody going around living their normal life. And then people are always saying, oh, it's not all Jews. It's not all Jews. And I do not accept that because I learned firsthand that these so-called, you know, Jews who aren't, they're just going around living life normal like the rest of us. But no, they go tribal when their holy religion, Holocaust, is challenged. So yeah, we don't need to go on about that, belabor the point, but I think that the commenter was correct, I think, and perhaps feeling a little bit of discomfort with that if we are lauding these Jews who have spoken up. Okay, great, we've learned some information, good valuable information from them, but here we are in 2025. We have our people. First of all, it's a existential struggle right now. So we don't actually need to resort to those Jews who have spoken out. Great if they do speak out and give us, you know, the goods and information and stuff, but we don't need to, you know, go on. Maybe that's useful for those who are just waking up to see that, and it might be useful for us to point it out if we're in a group of people who are still completely asleep or semi-asleep and they're doubtful about what we're saying. We say, look, even these Jews have told us that. That might be the more useful place for it, but perhaps not on this show. Go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, you know, see, the what some Jews will try to do, actually the organized Jewry tries to do, is to silence us who are speaking out. And when they realize they can't stop it anymore, then they will only highlight those Jews that spoke up and claim to be, they didn't mean it to be so bad. You know, so I can see exactly where you're coming from, yeah. We don't need Jews to do this work for us. We need to do it. And I can see, I have ideas how we come out of this whole quagmire in a fairly effective and fair way. And those Jews who, they will be judged by what they have done at what point in time, to our detriment, you know, for their tribal agenda kind of thing, or not. Because there are some Jews who understand the flaws of this programming, that it's not, they don't want to be a Jew. They're more afraid of getting out of it than we are to speak up about it. You know, like they are also terrorized to stay, to do what they do. But that's not going to help anybody. We need to deal with reality. We need to stop being afraid to do what is right and stop doing what they have ordered us to do. And see, all these things, like all these doctors, for example, all these doctors who are not Jews but went along with this bioweapon COVID injection thing because it was lucrative, these people have made themselves guilty of mass murder by doing so. And because of this guilt that is now hanging over their head, they are doing everything, or they think they're better off if the Jew system continues, which will, of course, lead to all of our death if it does continue. So this is the no-win situation that we find ourselves in, that, well, these people find themselves in. And that's why I can only see coming out of this with an absolute strict set of laws, that treason will be dealt with as treason always has been dealt with, a death penalty, whether you're Jew or non-Jew. If you don't come out by a certain point and put on the table what you have done or not done, this is the only way out, because we cannot allow these mass murderers to continue unpunished. Doctors who've now live in nice big houses because they injected hundreds or thousands of people with this bioweapon, they shouldn't be allowed to stay in that house, because we will never come to peace if they are, because these are mass murderers. Okay, I know several, you know, I know these people, and I know what vile character flaws they proved that they have during this time. And this COVID pandemic time is actually a blessing for us, because this allows us now to clearly define who has basically given up their right to have any say whatsoever. And these people who participated in that, depending on to what extent they participated, I don't know how they're going to escape the death penalty when everything comes to light. You know, I'm not the, yeah. You know, I'm an old man. Like, we're not the young people. They have to, the young people have to decide, because we're just here for a short time. You know, we borrowed this from our ancestors before us. For a short time, we took charge, and now we're passing it down. We cannot allow this disease called the Judaism to continue. And my prophecy or prognosis is that Judaism and all these monotheistic quack religions, this is their undoing, their last sort of their last dance, if you will. I just cannot see Judaism or Catholicism, Christianity, this nonsense continuing, or Muslims are even worse. I mean, all of these are fatal. Europe, we do not need any of these nonsensical superstitions to tell us what to do. And also, I'll say this, that all of these monotheistic religions, they basically, it's an outsourcing of your common sense, okay? Your God-given common sense. And I deliberately say God-given common sense, because there are many things, like, call it spirituality. There are things that we cannot explain, because we don't truly understand it. So we can call it, that's God, that's natural law. It's like telepathy, you know, I mean, when I was in prison for 4.5 years total, and I had some very spiritual experiences in there, which include, like, which had to do with telepathy and just amazing things that are more than coincidence, that just made me, put me in a state of ecstasy. And I also learned what subtle signals, the power of subtle signals, all of these things that I learned in prison, I could only learn in that special environment like prison was. And these things also give me the full confidence that we're going to win, because no Jew or no criminal has a chance against these laws of nature, I call them, okay? You could call it spirituality, whatever. But nobody can come and claim that they can explain to us what these are, and this is their God, you know, this is where it's coming from. No, we God is in us, okay? And these Jews are, there's nothing in them. There's just nothing but poisonous, you know,
yeah, nonsense. It does come down to an epic struggle between good and evil. And interestingly, if you subtract one letter from the word good, you get God. And if you add one letter to the word evil, you get devil.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, God versus the devil, good versus evil. This is firmly my belief too. We do have many good friends who do still... they are Christians. I did have letters from a lot of people in jail. While I was in jail, a lot of people wrote to me, and their awakening came through a closer reading of the Bible and understanding the Jews as being that which represents Satan. So anyway, but I agree with you, Alfred, in general there, but I also think we need to work with our friends who are Christians. So, I mean, I have a strong faith in God. I didn't always. I went through many years of my life where I wasn't sure about any of that. But I don't attend a church per se, because I think the churches have all been undermined. But many of our Christian friends do understand that the churches have been undermined, and I don't think they go to church either. So I just wanted to throw that in. But that's kind of going on another whole subject that we could, you know, talk a lot about. But at this time, there's one more sort of a housekeeping item before we get into the meat of today's reverse engineering talk. And why don't you tell us briefly, Alfred, you've been up to a lot of work and on this platform. You've uploaded a lot of your older educational videos from 2014, 15, 16, around there, maybe 2013. So you've had a chance to upload those, plus in German and whatnot. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm uploading like my videos consisted of a series, basically. They started with 9/11 gatekeepers and controlled opposition. And I had made some content errors in that video because I was still indoctrinated. I always say, you know, about 75% kind of indoctrinated. And I compared, you know, the evil Zionists with the evil Nazis, because this was the programming that I was still suffering from. And then I uploaded that in 2014 on YouTube. I was being attacked for my content errors that I had made in that video, starting about 12 to 18 months after having uploaded it. So, you know, 2015, 2016, I was getting attacked ever more sharply, justifiably so, because people who were much further along in understanding what's going on, they saw these errors and they says, what kind of nonsense is that? He's claiming to be exposing the gatekeepers. He's a gatekeeper himself. I was being accused of being that, what I'm trying to expose. I just didn't know any better. And then I said, okay, what's out there? You know, you can't kind of pull it back and fix it. So that was actually a real bonanza for me, because after I was rated then the first time, which was 2016, as a way of them saying thanks for the sorry mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust video. That kind of got B'nai B'rit up in a hissy fit, and they ordered the German authorities to come and arrest me. So you can see who's bossing the governments around, you know, who's bossing the police forces around. The Jewish lodges, the B'nai B'rit, the top lodge, Jews, only 100% pure Jews are allowed into that lodge or run that lodge. They says, the Schaefer character, get him out, pull him out of, you know, punish that guy, take him out of business. So they raided my house, and then I bought new equipment, of course, right away. Then I made a video, police raid and my confession. Okay. So I whacked two birds with one stone kind of thing. I explained the police raid and why they did it, you know, because of my evil sister and her confession to our mom. Sorry, mom. I mean, you can't just apologize to your mom without being punished. I confessed that the mistakes that I had, that I myself was behaving like a programmed rat. And I proved it with some of the scenes, some screenshots and so forth out of my first video, where I had misinterpreted symbols and so forth. I had misinterpreted the swastika as being something evil, you know, that represents evil. But even this misrepresentation turned out to be a real bonus, Monica. You remember in the first day in our big inquisition in 2018, the judge, they had, see, this is how stupid these Jews are. They're so fanatically stupid, really, when you get down to it. They're so fucking dumb, I can't believe it. Anyway, this low IQ inquisition, the judge said, oh, this is swastika at minute, you know, 13 or something like that. There's a swastika, and that's a forbidden symbol. And I told the judge, oh, so you're want to punish me because I have because I'm so you're saying how did I say that again? No.
Well, because you're showing it as a negative at
yeah,
that time.
Yeah, exactly. I was showing it as a negative, and he's punishing me for that. So that must mean he thinks it's a positive. You know, of course, in the
And
meantime, I know
they
in the
better go,
positive.
yeah, and they better go after all the mainstream papers and magazines where they show the swastika as an evil, representing something evil. They better go after them too, because that's what you were doing at the
See,
time. So.
it's because yeah, it's because at that point in time, they thought they're just going to put up that one little shot, little 2 seconds of the video, and that's the crime. I committed the crime. I says, no, you're taking it out of context. I said it was evil. You're punishing me for that, so you must think it's good. Now we have to see the entire video from front to back to put it in context. That was the whole thing. And that's Monica, that's how these Jews run the whole show. You see the stuff that's in the headlines every day. You got Angela Merkel. They have pictures of her when she's doing this. You know, she's actually doing this. Angela Merkel, this wicked, wicked Jew, because she's pointing at some birds flying over there. And so
Or
someone says, "Oh, look
waving
at
or
that!"
something,
And
yeah,
now they're
wave.
making, yeah. So now they're making a big story because Angela Merkel, it makes a Nazi salute. So this is the
I
Jews.
know.
They're taking
Yeah.
absolute. You make a gesture, a movement, a symbol, something, and they will attach some kind of story to that, a nonsensical story, and it's got either positive emotions or negative emotions, and that's how they try to manage us. Just like you, when you have a dog, you also will teach the dog to do things. For example, you can get your dog you can teach him to sick him, you know, and the dog will rip the head off of somebody, even a little child, whatever. But the dog obeys you because for your dog, you are God because you are filling his food dish, you see. And because the Jews control the money, that's like we are the dogs and the money is the food dish for us, you see. So they teach us,
Yeah.
they make us ever dumber. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm kind of
Well,
expanding a little bit
what
here.
I wanted you really the point was that's great though, Alfred. It's a very important story, but the point was to just let people know that you've
Oh yeah,
done a
the
lot of
videos.
uploading
Okay,
here.
yeah, I want to. And if I was able to, I still have to learn how to do that. How to pull in certain scenes from the videos to put in, and we can discuss these things because so many scenes in the videos that I did. These videos were uploaded 2014, 2015 was a very productive year.
And now they're on FT,
2016,
now they're on your channel on
they're on exactly
FTJ
on
Media, so
FTJ.
people can find them there.
Correct. You can find them, and I put the English ones are, number 1, 2, 3, 4, and then this description and so forth. And the German ones are DE for Deutschland, DE, for Deutschland, and then the number and so forth. So I'm trying to figure out how to structure them so that they have you can find, what you're looking
Yeah,
for
it's
kind of thing.
awesome. And I noticed that in the description, you're always putting the date that it was made so that, we have to timestamp everything. Just
Everything.
like you say, when you did your first video, maybe you were still 75% indoctrinated. Just like, okay, so my error, and I talked about this before in my little video, the 6 minute video, something that I wouldn't now put in 2025, this is 8.5 years later. Or almost 9 years later, I wouldn't put that one sentence in there where I referred to the poor Aboriginal people, the Indigenous peoples of North America, where I said, oh, they were also made to feel ashamed of themselves, because I just said, now I'm reminded of that. And I got attacked for that in
Yes.
comments. I mean, I've had people say, oh, that's where I stopped watching the video. That's just nonsense, controlled opposition or whatever. I mean, people are pretty harsh on judging. And, we should, okay, that's fine. We just like you took all those comments and the attacks against you for putting that swastika on the same level as a Star of David, and we learn from these things. I mean, this comes all the way back to this commenter that commented on our those darn Schaefer kids episode one. So fine, we are just ordinary human beings who are going along trying to learn things, but sometimes people that one error and they attack, oh, that's controlled opposition. Like, we do have to be a little bit discerning. Fine, if you want to judge us like that and say, oh, that's controlled opposition, like, okay, whatever, we're doing our
You
best, we're
know,
doing the best we can.
yeah, but
It's
I welcome these attacks
yeah.
actually, or this criticism, because it gives us an insight into where the awake, how far the healing process has moved along. I remember, Monica, when we did that video in 2016, I actually cringed when you brought that line
Ha
I really did, but
Oh,
I
did
didn't
you?
want to. I did, but I says no. I'm not gonna tell her because you know, no, that's fine. That's her choice. But I did
Well,
cringe.
just like I
So,
sometimes cringe.
but
We cringe each other out there.
oh yeah.
Well, we're still working together though,
Yeah.
hey?
No. And it's interesting that it took a little bit of while, and then you also says, ah, shice, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have
Yeah.
left it out.
It's a yeah.
But
Perfect
that's okay.
segue.
That's fine. And that's why he says we timestamp everything we do. Who knows what we're still saying now that we will change
Oh, yeah.
our views or our position on it a little later when we learn additional information. But I know one thing for sure, we are getting much, much closer to the actual truth than we ever were before because we were so deeply, deeply
Oh,
indoctrinated with
yes.
layer after layer after layer. And it was, I mean, this whole, just like when you think of so many of our professions, Monica, are not going to survive this paradigm shift. For
Yeah.
example, the school medicine, how much of the school medicine is good and how much of it is bad? There's much, much more of it is bad than there is good. So
When
much
you
of,
say
you know.
school medicine, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the
Oh.
medical profession or are you talking about the school system? What are you
No,
talking
well,
about?
the medical profession,
Oh, yeah. Well,
the whole pharma thing, the whole
oh, for sure. This is how I
just,
see it. The
yeah.
medical profession that we have in place at this time, there's two parts of it, very distinct parts of it. There is the part that takes care of mechanical things. Let's say mechanical things like trauma. If you have an accident, you break bones, or other kinds of, mechanical things in your body. I do think that they are absolutely superb and unbelievably good. Just absolutely
Yes.
fantastic. But in the other world, and it's two completely different worlds, when it comes to disease, what is that? And then
Viruses and stuff.
diagnosing
That,
and then
yeah.
treatment. That's what I want. I was looking for the word treating of disease or dealing with it. First of all, identifying what is it? What is disease? And then dealing with it. That is where our medical profession is completely garbage, garbage.
Garbage, so much
And
garbage, yeah.
we need to really come clean on that and just figure that out. But the mechanical parts that they do, they're very good at it. Like I am very grateful that they are there for patching us back together again if we get in some kind of a, an accident or whatever, that kind of thing. Okay, so you know what? This discussion we've had, Alfred, about making mistakes in the past and my mistake was that statement about, the indigenous peoples and they were also made to feel ashamed of themselves. Well, guess what? That is a perfect segue into the meat of today's discussion. Okay, so I'm going to get into this right now. So basically, we were saying reverse engineer current events. Today in Canada, they are saying that, and in fact, every single member of parliament unanimously passed a resolution after less than 1 minute of deliberation and thinking about it that yes, Canada's Indian residential schools, the IRS, Indian residential schools, that was a program of genocide. That was genocide. They 100% of the members of parliament passed that statement to basically set the groundwork. Okay, so we are in a big pickle here. And so I have done quite a bit of looking into this and I intend to really, I'm going to talk about this endlessly. So I'm going all the way from making that little mistaken statement in my little 6 minute video to the kinds of things that I talk about now. Reverse engineer this lie to better understand the hollow hoax. The first thing I need to do is to give you a point form summary of what the actual history was, what the documented actual story is about these residential schools. And for some of our American friends, I've people who are wide awake about a lot about the Jews, about the Holocaust, about this, about that, they still came up against me when I was talking about, they still would say, oh, but the Indians were treated so badly. And I kind of set the story straight. But the thing is, here's the thing. The background is that American history is a little bit different than Canadian history. Doesn't mean that they're being told the truth either, but they had their Indian wars. Okay. But I mean, the Indians, they behaved very badly. And I'm telling you, it was horrendous, the things that the Indians did to the white settlers in America. Torture and slow torture, and the more slow and evil the torture was, the more energy they were fed by it. It was really, really bad. And Thomas Goodrich wrote a book called Scalp Dance. I just received it, and I look forward to reading that. Although look forward is not the right word, because his books are sometimes hard to read, but yes, important to read. Okay. Important, just like Hellstorm, very important to read, but it's not a picnic. It's not a picnic because it's so difficult. But anyway, setting the stage. So in Canada, we didn't have these same Indian wars as they did in the States. We had treaties. Okay. Treaties were made between the settlers and the Indians. And so it was kind of, you know, between the Queen and the Indians, really, because, you know, Commonwealth country and all that. So we made treaties, and I would say we're not in a good position right now on account of these treaties. So I'll just give a little bit of background about these residential schools. Okay. One of the things that was written into these treaties was obligation for education. Now, the Indian bands requested education. There are many quotes about this very thing, that they requested these residential schools in particular. Okay, so that's one thing. Because now when they say, oh, the babes were ripped out of the arms of the parents and put forcibly, nothing could be further from the truth, okay? Because even so, only a third of the Indian children went to these residential schools, and some went to day schools, and others just didn't go at all, and that was okay, that was fine. We urgently ask for a new residential school capable of housing at least 100 children. That's a direct quote from a band. Here's another quote. We are glad to have an Indian residential school managed by a religious corporation. This is the only system which can satisfy us, and we hope that this shall be maintained. Another quote from another band. We recommend that Indian residential schools be maintained as now operated, and in the future be the centers where our orphan children be maintained therein. And that's another direct quote. These are from the 1940s. And all throughout. So the Indian residential schools, they existed for 113 years. There were 150,000 children went through these residential schools over the course of 113 years. There were 423 deaths. Now, we should recall that there was major outbreaks of tuberculosis. People within the general population were dying. There was a lot of death and disease and whatever it was, whatever that really is. I mean, you know, it could be argued, what is that? But there was a lot of death on or off. And in fact, statistics show that there was a higher rate a lower death rate in the schools than on the reserves, for example. And when you compare the same timelines. Let's just see what else is a fact of these residential schools. Well, those numbers, that's really important. Now, people will say, they were forced. They were forced. No, they weren't forced. The parents had to apply, actually, to put their children in schools. And they would apply to the school that was of the same religious denomination as they were. And this is documented in many, many, many documents exist that show that the Indians would say, well, we want our child to go to that school because that's, you know, we've been Catholic for 200 years, our family has been, and we want the child to go to that Catholic residential school. And they were very happy with these schools. The Kamloops school, which is ground zero for this big story about the 215, and then they reduced it to 200 unmarked graves found in, you know, on the grounds there. And they never did dig up a single bone, by the way. They asked for, the band asked for that school. They are another example of where the band requested a school. And many of these Indian parents, even if they had access to day school for their children, they preferred the residential schools because they were still on the land doing hunting and trapping. And it was a lot easier, sort of like parents today use daycare centers. Back then, it was a lot easier for them to send their children to a residential school. And so they could go off and on the trap line or going fishing, and it was easier for them. I was just going to say something else about it. Just hang on a second. I've just lost my train of thought. That's okay. Alfred, just before I go on, do you want to jump in at all with anything? You're muted. You're muted.
Yes. I'm glad you brought up this thing and are bringing these details, Monica, because this is, we're talking about reverse engineering before. They're bringing, you know, there was a certain factual way that things unfolded back then, and now they are reinterpreting everything like the hollow fucking hoax. I mean, when anybody uses that word Holocaust in their mouth, uses that as if it was real, I cannot take that person seriously. I just cannot. And this will, what the Jews are trying to do is remove us, to take all of our possessions away from us, to take that, just like we're talking about South Africa, for example. When the whites settled in South Africa, there was no blacks in South Africa. It was a completely, there was just really nobody there. And now they're just the burgeoning population from black Africa is all going down to where they can get some free food, you know, and see a bit of civilization. And then the Jews are getting them all pumped up to kill the Boer, you know, kill the whites.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's right. The history, I mean, we were so miseducated, misinformed about Africa, South Africa, all that.
And now the same is happening now in Canada. You got massive amounts of brown people coming in, and the whites are being guilted with not total lies about how evil they were and blah 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 to the indigenous people and so forth, which is absolute lies. And we look at the same time the people orchestrating these lies and flooding our countries with brown people. Look what they are doing to the indigenous people in Palestine, huh?
Yeah. Alfred, you're absolutely right. And does anybody of these indigenous people actually think that they're going to be treated better by the Chinese or the East Indians? Anyway, I do remember the last thing I was going to say here about the actual facts about these schools. Up until Canada's social welfare system really kind of got in place, which I'm not exactly sure, 60s, I think, or... These schools, the residential schools, also were like social safety net. Many of the children who were there were orphans. Mm-hmm. They were actual orphans. Now, sometimes they were orphaned because the rest of their family died, or from the tuberculosis or whatever diseases were going around, whatever killed them, we don't really know. But it's like, they were orphans, and so this was a safe place and a good place for these children. And here's the other thing. Some of these children, they stayed the rest of their lives on these residential schools, not because they were in chains, Alfred, not because they were forced to stay there. It's because, first of all, they had a good schooling there, and perhaps they were of the orphans, these orphans. And then they became staff. And yeah, they had good lives there. They became the staff later on, and that was how it was.
I want to add something.
Yeah,
also,
go ahead.
Remember, okay, our dad was working for the Canadian government as a Northern Medical Research Unit. He headed that up, and so we were involved with a lot of the health issues and so forth relating to the indigenous people, meaning the Indians and the Eskimos or Inuits. And one of the biggest problems that they always had, these people, was with alcohol, okay? Because they have they didn't have it like we Europeans did, had it all. The alcohol was something new for them. So they didn't have as much of a resistance to it as we do. So the alcohol was a real serious problem. And what do you know? In whose hands was the alcohol trade always? It was the Jews. It's always the Jews. So it's like the slave trade, we get the blame, but they did the business. With alcohol, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems that the Indians had, the native people had, was with alcohol, which was making huge profits for the Jews. So this is, it's just amazing how the, every single fucking time the Jew, it's just amazing.
It does come back, yeah. And same thing with those you know, we always were taught the story of how evil the settlers were because they spread those smallpox blankets, or they disseminate, you know, purposely. That's somewhere. That's, I wish I had it at my fingertips, but I did read an article about that it just put a lie to all of that. And if indeed there were these blankets, again, it was not our people who did that. But I need to dig more about that.
It reminds me of the vaccines here for us now, you see.
Okay.
Same agenda. I mean, hey, if you look deep, if you look carefully, you'll find the same perpetrators doing that as we have now in our situation here. How many millions of our people have dropped dead and not a single mention of that, of who murdered them? It was the Jew with their Jew shot, their COVID rat poison injection, and telling them with a straight face, oh, you need this vaccine or you will lose your job. You need this vaccine or blah, 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 or you cannot see your, you know, your grandmother or something like that. I mean, the stuff that they were, these, what do you call it when you the way they are forcing people to like behavior control, you know, like saying we don't have a pandemic of unvaccinated people. I mean, just the words they were using, they're twisting it around.
Exactly.
They're completely, totally, completely self-contradicting. I mean, we were always taught, oh, vaccines makes you resistant. Well, then why do you need a second, third, fourth, and fifth one and the booster one? And if the vaccinated people, why, how can the unvaccinated people be a danger to the vaccinated ones if they've all been vaccinated and are now immune to it? So the logic was any three-year-old child could see through it. And yet so many of our people were so zombified with fear that they actually fell for it. And now, right at the beginning of our show today, we talked about my confession, you know, that I was a zombie. These people, they have a big confession they make. They have to make it to themselves. They have to stand in the mirror and say, and agree they're looking at a complete idiot who fell for this nonsense. And they have to say it out loud, you know,
And many have done that. Many doctors did that. They started the vaccination program and then they saw something's not right with this. And then they came out and fought against it and speak against it. And of course, then they talk about the same kinds of things that happened to them as we have experienced, either directly or indirectly, slightly different details, like they get fired, they get this, they get that, you know, they get barred. So, but this is the thing, the more of our people who stand up to these lies and have the courage to do that, the faster we will come through this and the less our casualty rate will be, because we are in a war. There's no question. Alfred, I have a couple more things I'll talk about in terms of this, the schools, and then to talk about what they've done with it now in Canada, which that's the part that shows the parallels between how they handled the Holocaust, the Holo hoax, right? So, this one woman, she who's been filing reports and reports and reports, this is actually quite comedic, I think. Isn't it great they provide us with comedy? She says, cemeteries are evidence of genocide. her name is Kimberly Murray. She's been filing reports. Now here's another thing that shows you what there was a difference between what was going on in the United States and Canada, the Indian Wars there and the treaties in Canada. There's the Lakota tribe. They came up from the USA, took refuge from those Indian Wars, and they came to Canada. And do you know what they did? They claimed Winnipeg as being theirs right after the UNDRIP passed. Now, UNDRIP stands for United Nations Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And that declaration was passed by Canada's House of Commons 1 month after the story broke on these unmarked graves at the Kamloops Cemetery. That was back in 2021. And which, by the way, they still have not dug up a single one. They say it's sacred and hallowed ground, but you know what it really was at one time before it became an orchard? It was a septic field. So the septic field is their sacred and hallowed ground. I think that's pretty funny, yeah. Anyway, here's another little interesting tidbit. The father of Mark Carney, and I think everybody knows Mark Carney's name because he's you know, we're in the middle of an election right now in Canada, but he's been already coronated as the Prime Minister due to him having won the leadership of the Liberal Party. Okay, we'll see what happens on, I don't even know, is it April 28th? I've lost track. When is our election? I don't know. Anyway, his father, Robert Carney, see, they lived in the north. Mark Carney was actually born in the north, in the Northwest Territories, and they lived in north before they moved to Edmonton, right in our own neighborhood where we grew up, Alfred.
No kidding. Okay.
And Anyway, I think I've told you that. I know these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. Right, because you, when you were
when
a kid.
I was a child.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
I was a child. So,
right.
But Robert, he countered the Truth and Reconciliation Report because he was involved. I think he was a principal of a school in Yellowknife, and it might have been an Indian school. I'm not sure about that part. But anyway, he did counter the Truth and Reconciliation Report, saying that they could have said, should have said, could have said that residential schools helped care for and save and protect orphans. This alludes back to what I just said. They were the social services, basically, before Canada instituted broad social services for, you know, the general population so that people don't fall through the cracks. And it was like a social safety net, they called it. Well, these schools were the social services, and there weren't just Native children there. There were other children there too. So, you know, that's interesting that he said that, Robert Carney. Now, Mark Carney, it'll be interesting to see how he handles all this. He has been silent, absolutely silent in while these lies are being perpetrated, that if anybody right now, for example, there's a candidate in the west coast of British Columbia in the Powell River area. There's pressure, and I'm not even sure what party, but it doesn't matter. There's pressure for him to be ousted, like thrown out, not be a candidate, because he in the past has come out saying that there, you know, these residential schools weren't all bad. Imagine that. And there's pressure put on him to be not allowed to be a candidate. And I think it's even the Conservative Party. And so far, I don't think he's been thrown out. But boy, you wouldn't believe the pressure. So you cannot even say, now, does this remind you of something, Alfred?
Yeah.
Does this remind you of the Holocaust, that you're not allowed to say in that law that we were charged under and went to jail for? They don't even mention the word Holocaust, but we know it's the Holocaust denial law. Then you can't say anything good about National Socialist Germany.
The way the Jewish death matrix works, basically, it's not that complicated, is that they have the best of the goyim, Amalek. You know, we're slated for extermination, and because they control the media, because they believe they can control the laws, which they do at this point in time. You know, the official laws, the people that scribble these things on a piece of paper that are supposed to tell us what to do and what we're not allowed to do. They rig the entire matrix so it is always disadvantage for the Amalek, the ones that are supposed to be exterminated. They are always climbing uphill, like struggling as everybody else gets a free lunch. And we get drained of all of our energy, of everything, until everybody hates us because they believe this nonsense they are being fed. And all these people that are being taught to hate us have advantages from hating us because they get to have the free stuff that we created. We created it. They get it. But this, that's a biological attack. Just like a healthy body gets invaded by a bunch of parasites or some kind of a disease. The Jew is a disease for us. Not just for us, but for this whole planet, for life itself. The Jew is a threat for life itself. And we and the pain, this pain that is increasing at an ever faster rate, wakes us up out of this anesthetized, indoctrinated state we find ourselves. And we know what needs to be done. And all the pictures we are now seeing as a result of this death matrix, you know, kicking in, These are the pictures that are now replacing the indoctrinated programs of, oh, look at those poor little innocent children. Oh, nobody is illegal. Blah, 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 blah. And now we are seeing what these low IQ, dark-skinned people are doing when they think they've got it all wrapped up and it's all theirs now. They're showing their true face. But it had to come this way. You know, there's going to be a lot of our people who are going to be butchered in the most evil way and so forth, many of whom we will never hear about it. But a lot of these pictures are getting out now because everybody has their mobile phone kind of thing. They know how to operate their instant camera kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So these pictures are now replacing the indoctrinated programs of, oh, those poor refugees with those are vile, like they're monsters, they're invaders. And in the past, we would not be here today if we did not know what needs to be done to invaders, okay? What they came, they can go. We were asleep, we can wake up. Where's the problem? I mean, that's as simple as it gets. You know, this is, and especially when amongst our people, Monica, everybody will be measured and judged by what they did or did not do at what point in time. And those people who think that being politically correct and infinitely stupid is advantageous for them, they will see that any shiny, glittery toys that they got because of this bad behavior in our eyes, bad behavior, politically correct, they're going to lose all that. They're going to be at the bottom of the totem pole. They're going to be lucky to come out of that alive because there's a point where this is treason, you know?
What I find interesting, Alfred, this is another big, you know, thought process here. Many of these invaders who are being pumped into our countries very deliberately by the Jews, this is absolutely no question, because they are the ones who have said they're doing this and they have orchestrated it, they have funded it, they are the ones who open the borders and they have guilt tripped the white race so that we don't object because then you're racist. Okay. So, but anyway, many of these people who are coming in as invaders, and they're just opportunists, like they themselves are just the opportunists. They're the flies that get attracted to the dead, you know, chicken or whatever. But they owe their lives, their very existence, they owe to us, many of them, I would say 9 out of 10, because who is it that goes all over the world and creates good sanitation, who creates good clean water systems? It is our people, our brothers and sisters and our ancestors who have because we have empathy and we have conscience. And so we, you know, travel and then we see the poor conditions and their conditions of poor sanitation. We said we should fix this for them. We should help them. We should go help these people, these poor, poor people. Let's help them. And so then what happened in these people, like in many parts of Africa and sub-Saharan Africa or whatever, the populations of the people, the races who have a very high fertility rate because they have a very high death rate in natural conditions, we created the conditions to lower their death rate, but their high fertility rate continues. So I would say that we help them increase their population. And then what happens now? The floodgates are opened and they're allowed to pour into our countries. Isn't this just the greatest of ironies that we enabled? We gave life. We give life to the very people who then become utilized as a weapon against us by always that tribe that we're not allowed to criticize lest we be called anti-Semitic. You know, I think that's kind of ironic.
Yeah, well, you know, it reminds me a little bit about this bait and switch of the population bomb, and now we need billions of Negroes in our lands because we're having not enough children, and our economy is going to collapse if we don't bring in all these Negroes. You know, it's a bait and switch of the most vile nature. But all of this is we're going to rectify this. And I always say it, that our opponents and the invaders, they themselves will determine what is required to rectify the situation. Is it going to be pleasant or unpleasant? It's not our decision. It's their decision. Those who are got three functioning brain cells can leave, and we won't harm them. Those that stay, they are, the fact that they are on our territory makes them illegal because they came in when we, while we were asleep, and a bunch of a crime syndicate was running the law department. Okay. These Jews are criminals. They're not, it's not our law department. It's theirs. So they took advantage of this illegal situation, and that makes them illegal. They can go back home to Nigeria or wherever they come from and wait at our embassy. And as soon as we need them, because I'm sure we'll need them, then they can just wait for the phone call, and then they can wait there and until we call them to come back. Period. You know?
Yeah. Alfred, yeah. I have this memory from when we were children.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this or not, but Mom, our mother, I remember distinctly her talking about probably in response to, you know, when the mainstream media was spewing out all the stuff about that we should go help and we should go set up schools and we should go, like in Africa, right? We should go help them and do this and that. And I remember Mom, basically it was like a philosophical statement saying, we shouldn't be doing any of that. We should just leave them to do what they're doing. Like just leave them just don't interfere with their lives. They've lived there for eons. Let them live there for the next eons without us going there to do this or that. Like, we shouldn't go there, build schools, because that's not even their, what would we educate them about? Their culture?
The Holocaust. The Holocaust. They have to learn about the Holocaust.
Right. Yeah. So back to parallels between the current, because you have to ask yourself, because I'm seeing this unroll in real time, Alfred, and I've delved into the actual story, and I've touched on that briefly, what the actual story was, like Indian bands requesting schools and how many children actually died in all those years of the residential schools, and there was a lot of TB and stuff like that, and that the rates of death, all these things. I've touched on that very, very briefly, and there's so much more. People could do some research into this. But why and how, not why, we know why. How is it that they are able to unroll, like, let's just roll it out, this blatant lie in real time? And that's where these parallels between how they did it, how they're doing it now, and I can tell you some of the ways they're doing it, and then just reverse engineer that to say, well, that's how they brought us the Holocaust, and that's why so many people firmly believe, and we did too until not that long ago, really. I mean, I was older than 50 years of age when I figured it out, and you too, that well, that's a lie, right? But okay, so some of the ways they shut down any native person that speaks well of their life, mm-hmm. in a residential school. They shut that down so fast. Not only that our mainstream media shut them down, or, you know, the Jews shut them down, they themselves, because they themselves, their own bands, their own chiefs, who are very, very corrupt, by the way, they get so much money. And I know a lot of these chiefs live high off the hog while the rest of the people on the res, you know, have to boil their drinking water still. But, you know, but anyway, didn't they do that also with the Holocaust, that there are many, many, many survivors who told their stories? In fact, Yad Vashem, that Holocaust museum in Israel, apparently there's like 50,000 testimonials from people, but they'll only, like, Hollywood will only take, what, 1 or 2% of those, the ones that match, that go with the story of, oh, gas chambers and this and that. But there's a lot of stories, witnesses in stories of, so Jews who say, oh, we had theater there, we had this and that, and children were able to put theater on, and you know, we had soccer games, all this stuff. Those stories don't make it to Hollywood. So that's selective treatment of they themselves, what they talk about, right? That's one way. Professors get fired. So Frances Widdowson is one example of a professor. She was in Calgary at the university there, and she got fired from her job because she was writing and talking about First Nations stories in a way that didn't go along with the mainstream. And she was questioning and digging into this, just like we are doing right now. So if I was if I happened to be a university professor, I'd be fired right now for saying these things that, gee, you know, so and so many children died in 113 years, and they asked for the schools. They wanted the schools. They got good education. See, Kamloops Band, for instance, why did they request a school there? Maybe it's because the parents saw that their children would fare better in life if they learned the language, the English language, if they learned some skills, trades maybe, if they learned basic reading and writing so that they could get jobs, they would fare better. They would do better in our society. And that's just how it was. They wanted their children to be educated. In fact, just a few years ago, Alfred, they had a reunion at the Kamloops school. And I guess it was a wonderful celebration. Now, do you think that that would happen if this was a genocidal place? If in the middle of the night, the priests or the nuns were getting the students to dig holes out in the apple orchard so that they could bury the children that they had murdered then? Like, do you think that they would go back happily for a reunion and have a big party? It's just absolutely implausible. But you know what? If, like this current... The candidate there in Powell River area, who is the pressure is on the party to throw him out of this election because he has said that it wasn't all bad at these residential schools. He's being, and all the 24/7 on the mainstream media, you're just going to hear about these horrible, you know, this genocide. This is how they're doing it. I mean, does this remind you of how do they do it with the Holocaust?
You know, I'll tell you, it's the same, like we're talking about reverse engineering. Yeah, the same methods. But the reason why the Jews will not succeed is because people are turning away and off from their controlled media. It's intolerable. I know I cannot watch the Jew media anywhere. When I go past a newspaper shop or something like that and I look at the headlines just to see what kind of nonsense they're peddling, I just cannot, and you don't see many people buying this stuff anymore. The people are turning off. So their big weapon, which was the media through which they peddle their nonsense. I mean, you know, let's face it, Monica, when go back 20, 30 years or something. I know when I started working in Germany, there were certain magazines I'd buy to get informed. I would pick up not one of those magazines anymore. They have all gone, exposed themselves as being absolute cheap Jewish rubbish lies from top to bottom. There's nothing in there that's worthwhile. It's not worth the paper that it's printed on, you know. And the same goes for the mainstream television. I mean, they might have 100 different channels of just garbage. There's nothing you can watch anymore. So that's the and people are under, you know. I repeat myself again and again, but I say people do not allow themselves to be made an ass of all their lives once they realize they've been made an ass of. And that's what's happening now. The entire world, the entire planet Earth is waking up and discovering somebody has made an ass of us. And I just say it again and again, if the white race collectively is really, truly too stupid to beat its way out of this, you remember when we were the first day at the courtroom, one again says, we're going to beat our way out, punch our way out of this, like out of a wet paper bag, that nice picture. I mean, come on. Like, that's why I tell people, hey, what are you waiting for? You know, this isn't a spectator sport. This is a life and death situation. Yes. Do something, anything. Just don't let any of these words or any of these lies touch you. When somebody says a lie in your presence, point it out. Of loud and clear with confidence and say, why are you lying about that? Can't you tell the difference between a cheap Jew lie and the truth? I mean, come on, that's just nonsense. That's how
we just have to bring questions to people. Look, why do they have to make a law about something that happened in the past or didn't happen? Because this is what's going on now in Canada too. This law has not been passed yet, but it's on the books because it was put forward. It's very similar as the Holocaust denial laws, want to criminalize you if you merely ask for evidence about this Canada's genocide. Yeah. They want to criminalize you, throw you in jail for a couple of years.
I'll tell you why the Jews have to do this. The Jews have to exterminate the white race, or they will be exterminated. Because always reaches the point. If they don't exterminate us, they will be hunted down and killed. But because they feel this desperate need to exterminate us, That's why they're doing that. That's the reason. And we have to point it out to them. And that's why our people who are too stupid to or too spineless to oppose these lies, they are as guilty as the Jews who are doing it to them. That's our situation.
It is getting pretty much, it's, you know, the 11th hour.
Oh, it
and,
is.
And but, you know, we do still have to work at bringing our people out from under the spell, because they are under the spell. Remember, yes. Everybody else is hating on the white race, so we shouldn't hate on our own brethren for not yet having come out from under the spell, because the Jews have cast an enormous spell, a powerful spell, very powerful spell. Now, Alfred, this was inspired by, like, this whole reverse engineering concept was inspired by your doing that video back in, was it 2015 or 2014, the reverse engineering 9/11.
Yeah.
Who was the star of that video? Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us the star.
Michael Chertoff. Yeah, he was saying, well, people, back then they still had more phone-in talk shows. And they were realizing, God, they couldn't have that now anymore, because they wouldn't be able to deal with the reality that would be coming in hot on those lines. But it was a guy who called in, and Michael Chertoff was in this talk show. Michael Chertoff, who was running the whole all these agencies there, CIA and NSA and all that kind of stuff, and this guy phoned in and said, first of all, about the $2 trillion or whatever it was that strangely went missing right in that office building where at the Pentagon there, and then a number of other questions, and then Chertoff, this slimy Jew bag there, he's saying, that's just nonsense there, and this is denying this. What really happened there is like Holocaust deniers. They're out there, but not to be taken too seriously. And the comments under that video, see, back then they still, that was on YouTube, actually. The comments were fantastic. There you have it, Chertoff, Holocaust deniers, is like, all
he lumped bullshit. He lumped them together.
He lumped it together. You see, because the idea that someone denies the Holocaust back then was like a magic wand, a spell that had us on our knees. People who questioned it in their minds would not dare to speak out, because you would instantly be like smashed to the ground by the goyim around
people
you.
Well, people did. Ernst Zundel and but still, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. But
yeah.
it's just a weaponized term that. Oh. Ooh, Holocaust denier, and lumping them together means, 9/11 truther, that's just a Holocaust denial. That's the same thing, basically. And, you're an anti-Semite at the same time,
this is the ritual defamation. This magic wand would spew shit all over your face. And you were subjected to that in a ferocious manner when you went home after uploading Sorry Mama's Wrong About the Holocaust. You go back to your hometown, a government town, which is, a real Marxist, Leninist
it
government
is.
Town. And the people there were, the stories you experienced after that made my time, I wasn't in prison yet. I was out there, but here in Germany, I wasn't experiencing that somehow. Like I was amazed.
It's a different situation where you live. Like the town where I lived, it's kind of like its own. It's like being on a ship on the ocean.
Yeah.
People who live there, they work there, they play there. It's its own thing. Whereas where you live, it's a little bit different. People commute it's a bit different. And mine is like, it was like a bubble. I was in this, on this ship, and everybody knew me on that ship, basically. And so it's its own entity. And yeah, it's a government town, all right. And it was communist before I even realized that, like before the rest of Canada went communist.
When I heard those stories that what you were going through, Monica, I was shocked at how far the Canadians have fallen to the ground, groveling, repeating just utter nonsense that the Jews had crapped into their brains. I says, how can any grown person fall that low. That's what I was thinking. Well, you told me a story about a carload of teenagers. They rolled down the windows as you're riding your bicycle, and what do they scream at you? Oh, you Nazi, or something like that. You know?
Oh yeah, just full just, on and venom, spewing yeah. venom. I mean, I had all kinds of things like that going on, and I lived right across from the school, and so I learned to time my outings so that I wasn't going out my front door just when they were either coming out of school or going in, so that I wasn't faced with this onslaught of these hostile youth who were so, so indoctrinated. It was unreal, actually. They were bad.
I'm going to sort of segue this into the future. And I say, when all of these people understand how they have been made an ass of to behave in such a self-destructive manner, and then they realize all of these invaders who are prancing around our dancing around in our streets and what they are doing to us, and these pictures that we are now being fed out of our own, you know, like when your little white kids are getting mauled to death by a bunch of, you know, black thugs kind of thing. What do you think is going to happen when we stand shoulder to shoulder on our feet with a functioning common sense and
we're going to ask, this is instead of reverse engineering, Alfred, we're going to do future engineering now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so the future engineering, we're going to demand reparations from the Jews for our education that we had in school, because our education system taught us to behave in a suicidal manner.
Absolutely.
Because we were fed the reverse of everything, and we were told, you know, critical race theory, that you're bad just because you're white. You are the problem. In fact, I had somebody tell me this just recently, how in Prince George at the college, the university there, they're white. Children who are now young adults, they came home saying, the professor told us, you are the problem, you, because you're white, you are the problem. The professor in a university class is telling these white kids, you are the problem. I mean, that's unbelievable. So we are going to ask for reparations in the future from these Jews. I mean, they're going to be paying forever. But the reality is we just want them gone. Like, let's do the 1,039th expulsion. But this time it's kind of worldwide, isn't it? So I don't know.
It's global. Monica, it's global. And we cannot... we cannot assume that this is going to be, with the sort of the way we're taught, oh, we cannot allow to touch anybody, nobody's illegal, and blah, 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 blah. When we truly have figured out what has happened, and when our infrastructure breaks down because the biomass that we now see around us, consisting of all these low IQ, incompetent rejects from the third world, they are going to drain us down. It's like going swimming with a ball of lead tied around your neck. It's going to pull you down. They are pulling our civilization down. And when we realize exactly what's at stake and our natural instinctive will to survive kicks in, then there will be no sentimentality in the solution. We will do what needs to be done. And if they stand in our way, it's like if you take a tomato and put it on the road and a steamroller comes along, the steamroller won't even notice. I mean, these Negroes and Pajits and all these other people streaming into our country, living for free, not producing anything, they're not going to survive. They just won't survive. The smart ones didn't come here. The ones that are not completely retarded are already leaving on their own. So what's left is really sludge, you know.
Well, and you know what they're doing? They're screaming. They're screaming in the streets. Canada doesn't belong to you. You go back to Europe.
Oh yeah.
It belongs to us. Like, they literally, there's these massive, you know, street occurrences going on where they are chanting that, these
but, you know, Monica, I've also heard that the Chinese in Canada are complaining that when they go downtown in certain cities, they think they're in India, and they're upset about that, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so if the Chinese are complaining that Canada is not Canada anymore, it's like in India, well that's okay. I'm glad they're noticing. I mean,
Amazing. Alfred, just back to something you said a few minutes ago about these talk shows, because you were talking about Michael Chertoff on that talk show, that they're not going to have talk shows anymore because it's going to go crazy. But I'm going to tell you how they do it for talk shows now, because this happened to me, and this is a big lesson I learned, and this was a few years ago when probably it was about 2014, because I had not yet learned, well, maybe 2013, I had not yet figured out the Hollow hoax, but I had already, we were already on to the 9/11 thing. So it was probably 2013. By 2014, I was fully cognizant of that. But anyway, you know, they're in Canada on the CBC, that's the Communist Broadcast Corporation, I mean, the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, they have this Sunday afternoon cross-country checkup. It's a two-hour-long phone-in show, and yeah, they always have a topic on that. I called in because their question was very open-ended. And the question was, it was like early in January and Parliament was about to resume their session. And the question was so open-ended, wonderful. It was, what would you like your politicians to focus on? What's important to you? So I called in right at the beginning of that two-hour period. I called and I got through, because then, you know, you get the you know, there's a bunch of phone lines they have, and they'll have a bunch of staff on the other end that will talk to you, chat you up and say, oh, what do you want to talk about? But you're still on hold, right? You're not on live yet. And I told them why I wanted the parliamentarians to that they demand or instigate that there are going to be a new investigation into 9/11, because it's some Canadians died in that day, I think 28 or whatever it was, I don't remember the number, a pretty low number compared to Americans who died, but some Canadians died. They were working in those towers. And it seems that there's some flaws in the official story, but I didn't say anything about, oh, so-and-so and so did it or whatever. I just said they should demand a new investigation because the current, you know, it doesn't fit. And anyway, the producer on the other end of the line was really nice to me and, you know, just chatting me up and sort of, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So making me sound or make it sound like, yeah, I'm going to get on. This is a good question. And I sat on the other end of that phone and I had the radio on in the background so I could listen, or it was coming through the earpiece or whatever. I don't remember. So, and he said, oh, yeah, you'll get on and all this stuff. So he promised me I would get on. He didn't say, oh, no, that's too hot of a topic or anything. But you know what? I sat there for 2 hours. and after a while, I knew. I mean, after about 1 hour, I knew they're not going to put me on. But I stayed on the phone just to prove a point to myself, just to really, really find out, right, are they really going to do this, have me hanging there for 2 hours? I was left hanging for 2 hours on that phone. And like I say, Alfred, it's not because I didn't get through. I got through. And they did not put me on the air. So that's how they do it. And these screeners, they are very skillful. They are very skillful. So if I ever did it again, I'd have to just lie to the
screener. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you have to fib your way in, you know.
But you know, and then you get on and I think they have a 5 second delay.
Sure.
So they'd cut you off. But some people did, you know, for example, at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, there were some really interesting calls that did get through and then they'd get cut, but at least they got 30 seconds of their message through, you know, some people saying, look, this doesn't match up. It doesn't seem like this is for real and all the stuff they were doubting. So, you know, every once in a while, some little tidbits have gotten through, but I learned a big lesson that day when they did not put me on the air and I was sitting there waiting for 2 hours. And I just was asking for, they should just push for a new investigation into 9/11. That's all. Imagine that. But that's how they do it, Alfred.
You know, Monica, the fact that we cannot expect the Jews to talk about 9/11 and clarify that, but it's important that we, of course, we're not going to forget. We're not going to forgive. No, that in the end, this paradigm shift goes through. And that is just one of the many, many, many lies that will basically guarantee that this is Judea's last and final act on this planet Earth. This is so sick, so demented, so vile. It will not survive. And that's why when people get angry because I say there's a couple of good Jews out there, no, I want to reassure these people, this is Judea's last act. And those individuals that were come out of the Jewish, you know, that have Jewish ancestry, and have understood how they, what they had been indoctrinated with, and we mustn't forget with which terror they are kept in line, okay? Those who have been able to understand what's going on and have proven in the past that they do want to help us, they deserve special protection, because it's like Israel Shahak said in his book, Jews have killed many times more Jews than Goyim have ever killed them. And even if we killed all the Jews in this world that are on this planet now, they've still won, because they have killed more of our people than there are Jews on this planet. In fact, even if we says, well, for every 10 of us that you have killed, we're going to kill one of you, we still could never even the score. They have killed so many of us, you see. So this is the level of rage that is coming at their way. They cannot stop it. So that is why I say those Jews that want to survive, come out now, put on a piece of paper, everything you know, what is, you know, and so forth. And that will give you fairly good chances of coming out relatively okay. Otherwise, yes, death is pretty much certain. A little bit like if you jump into the cone of a volcano, you're going to get cooked and you're not going to come out alive. It's sort of like that. So just come out with it, you know, come out. The game's over. It's a paradigm shift. You know, we didn't choose it. Neither did you. This is the end of the game. Come out, you know, and take a chance. You know, if you come to me, hey, I've got a couple of Jewish friends here that, you know, like Gerard Menuhin, for example, he wrote that book. Adolf Hitler was the last statesman who would have been able to stop this insanity, but the collective mass of the entire world under the control of the Jews was just too much. Adolf Hitler, is Saint Adolf Hitler, was the last human being on this planet who could have stopped them, but the Allies, being little lap dogs and fighting dogs for the Jews, didn't let it happen.
You know, the Jews are worried because Adolf Hitler is making a wonderful comeback, because millions of people are understanding that Adolf Hitler was not the bad guy. In fact, he was a good guy, and he could have if the world hadn't turned against him because of who they were serving, and that was their Jewish overlords and, you know, some very corrupt, like the white race. You know, we have many wonderful qualities, but unfortunately one of the negative qualities that we are prone to amongst our people is this being treasonous, being traitorous to our own people. I don't know if that is as strong in any other race as the white race, but they're, I mean, strong, weak, this weakness that so many of our people, our own people, have been prone to just selling their souls to the devil, literally, and being the Shabbos goy for the Jewish agenda, right? And so those are, and the Jews hate those people more than they hate us, you and me, Alfred, because those are the traitors.
But let me tell you something. Jews are also Caucasians, the same race as we are. Like, you know, like I know some people say, okay, there's Jews can be genetically identified, but you know, there's so much, like, I don't want to go too much.
Well, they've bred so much, but
they're interbreeding. Yeah, because of that, there's a lot of.
Unfortunately, they've stolen so much of our blood, but I would have to say they come from a different genetic background.
Well, but it's an operating system, you know. It's a whole like, they don't have to, a Jew doesn't have to be a Jew if they stop nibbling off the
foreskins. But again, we're going down this road right now. I think we can disagree on that.
But that's now, if the Jews any Jew that wants to survive, it's like 10 past 12 midnight. It's like, you should have done so like a long time ago.
Right now, the only thing I'm interested in is that we look after our race.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing that counts anymore, and that we count on our people to do that. We don't need to count on the so-called good Jews to help us out of this mess. They might have, you know, provided us with very valuable information in the past. That's great. But we need to look after our interests, and that's where I also feel that when we're still being pulled into this sympathy for this, that, and the other people who are other races, I say, look, yes, I have empathy in my heart, because I'm not a heartless person. Actually, that's what got me where I am, is that I have a lot of sensitivity and empathy, as did our mom and dad. But right now, okay, we're always wanting to look after the underdog, right? This is our nature. I know Dad was very strong in that, always kind of looking out after the underdog. Well, guess who's the underdog now?
Yeah.
We, the white race of people, we are the underdog now. We are being attacked. It's no longer a hidden attack. It's an open attack. They tell us they want us dead. And now it's the Shabbos Goy who also tell us that you're the problem because you're white. And that would be talking about these professors and teachers in schools who went through a schooling system to get to their position, which has been completely hijacked by the Jews for several generations now, since decades. And so the teachers and the professors, they have been really, you know, culturally Marxified, shall we say. So they're now teaching, you know, the young white generation that you are the problem. Okay, so who's the underdog here? We are under attack from all sides, including those who are deluded amongst our own race. That is what I want to focus on, is us, our people. And that's where I want to put my attention to, you know, in terms of caring about, you know, who's being hard done by and who's under existential threat. And I know you agree with that. So I think that's kind of the focus here. Sorry to go on like that, but anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got about 2.5 minutes, and then we'll have the 2 hours. You know, completed the 2 hours here on the little clock here. So
yeah, that we didn't start recording, but that doesn't matter. We could finish anyway. This clock is running from when you first opened the link.
Oh, okay.
Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was 1:45, and it's 20 after now, so another 20 minutes. But we don't have to go that long. We can make it shorter.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem. Yeah.
And then, yeah, because, yeah, I don't know. I think we've said everything we want to say, and I know that this is Judea's final act. Never in history has a so-called a hijacked government that is so hated by everybody been able to survive. And for them to keep themselves in power, they have to keep making more laws and laws and ever more laws. They're trying to throw me back in jail. You know, I've got several papers saying that if I don't go to this Inquisition monkey court on in the 20th or 25th or something of April, that they're going to come and they're going to have to arrest me. I said, well, go ahead and arrest me. I'll wait for the pickup service. But I would never think of going there and do a dance on the table for these monkeys there. I mean, it's so the Jews. I don't see how anybody can be. For me to go there, it's like if a doctor comes and says, roll up your sleeve, we want to give you a vaccination. When I was in prison and they said they wanted to, if I wanted to mean a schedule for my vaccination, I says, you know, I said that very calmly. I says, you know, the doctor that comes too close to me with the needle, I won't have any teeth because I'm going to punch him out. And the warden says, oh, Mr. Schaefer, don't be so violent. And this is, it's purely self-defense, you know, purely self-defense. And when I was released, all the wardens, all the prisoners were saying Schaefer was right. Schaefer was right, you know. And so now these government, these trained dogs that claim to be the government, these Jews, they think they can do this to us. I mean, you have to come to court. I say, I have to what? Pardon me? I didn't hear that properly. No, if they want me, they have to come and get me. They can drag me out of here. Maybe they'll do that. Maybe not. I don't know. But this is a war. I mean, we have to stop being afraid of what they might do, because so many of their threats are just a hot air and threats, you know, hot air.
Well, also they won't stop. They're not going to stop. And so if they always cower and give in to their pressures, they'll just keep ratcheting.
Absolutely. I wouldn't. I mean, they've got the verdict already laid out there. You know, they're sending me all these threatening letters that the severity means this and that, and they're going to be gone for years. And so I have to have a lawyer. And says, well, I have to have what? I'm not going to get a lawyer, one of their silly lawyers. I defend myself. If they drag me there in chains, I'm not going to sit down. because as soon as you take a seat, then you are accepting that as the official their court kind of thing. So
we've both learned a lot since our inquisition in 2018,
absolutely.
Alfred. We've learned a lot.
See, all these lawyers are working within the matrix that has been laid out for them to work within. So they don't help us. They don't help us. There's no lawyer that helps us here. Like,
there have been some good ones. I would say Douglas Christie.
Oh yeah, okay, that's Canada. That's an exception. He was good. Yeah. Yes, that's absolutely. But the ones here now, they are all. They'll do all kinds of stuff, but not. They're not working really for our interests because they want to keep that system going because that's where they're getting their bread and butter, you know.
Yeah, well, you and I probably disagree about the lawyer that was for me, but then we don't have to go into that.
That was a whole other topic
because I do think that there probably are the occasional good people within that system who, you know, they actually are smart enough for one thing, but also courageous enough to, you know, try to do good within the system. Unfortunately, it's not working out really well right now because the Jews will not stop. Now, they've been thrown out a lot of times. So we could have just asked those questions. Like, our whole goal is to help more people wake up, of our people. We want more of our people to wake up to understand this. So I always, I don't always follow my own advice, but I'll just say it anyway, that asking questions is a very powerful way, actually. So just even the simple question, why do they have to make a law saying you cannot say that you disagree with the history we've been taught in school? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So that's one thing that people ask. And then asking a question, why aren't we allowed to have evidence about these bones that they say are these unmarked graves, these children that were buried in the middle of the night? Why haven't they dug those up? Why haven't they shown us a single morsel of evidence? And yet they're vilifying anybody and calling them a hater and a racist for even just saying that, geez, some good things happened in those schools, when some of the Indians themselves have said that, but then they just get shut down. They're not the ones that get reported in the mainstream media that, oh yeah, they had really nice careers as a result of these schooling, you know, the schools and whatnot. So asking questions is a very powerful way. And I think we could probably wrap it up pretty soon, Alfred, if we have covered our topic quite thoroughly of reverse engineering the current situation to better understand how they have brought us these lies in the past, and hope that maybe this reaches some people, that we, you know, can reach a few people to say, oh wow, this is how it's
Friedrich Nietzsche said his last sin was feeling sorry for people. I don't feel sorry for people anymore that don't want to ask questions and don't get it. I would who was that? We were on some talk show saying, I'll even take that person and drive them to the doctor's office to get the vaccinated kind of thing. You know, these people that are that have so detached themselves from their own common sense, their God-given brain, I don't feel sorry for them anymore. I don't care if they boosted themselves to death, and I don't care. And I say that for the whole white race. If the white race is truly too stupid to punch their way out of this one, that's okay. They'll just go exterminated. This is
okay. No.
Well, no, it doesn't matter.
It's not okay.
Well, I don't care. I mean, we're doing what we can so that doesn't happen.
This is what we're fighting for.
Monica, if you have a bird or something, right? And he just tweets dumb stuff, and he's really a nice bird. And then the cat comes, and he just tweets dumb stuff. He gets eaten by the cat. And if he's too stupid to fly with his God-given wings, then you shouldn't care because he was too stupid. This is where we are right now. If we are truly too stupid, then that was a flaw of nature. This too much empathy, too much believing anything that anybody tells you.
Alfred.
Well, no, I don't feel sorry. You can feel sorry for them. I don't, Monica. I laugh. I actually snicker. I don't care anymore. I really don't. It just costs me too much energy.
Okay, but granted, it costs too much energy. But
you can cry for them. I don't cry anymore.
Well, look, our enemy, they are vampires. They are sucking on our energy, our blood. that is a negative energy. So if they, I really truly do not think that they can succeed, because
no, they can't succeed. But I don't care. But the people that don't, that are too dumb to ask questions, they are prescribing for themselves the absolute lowest position in if whatever survives. If they survive this paradigm shift, they will be at the very, very bottom in the sludge. They will have nothing to say. Even people that got vaccinated, they have disqualified themselves from ever having anything to say, because if you give them a free choice, they will actually roll up their sleeves for their own death shot. If they had used their common sense, they would have known that. But they chose to take comfort over their own thinking, critical thinking. So that's okay.
Well, Alfred,
that's how it is. Like, I would not take advice from somebody who's been vaccinated. I just wouldn't.
No. I know. I mean, it all seems so obvious to us, but they, you know, these people who rolled up their sleeves, you know, the coercion was pretty darn strong.
Oh, it was strong.
And so, you know, you either get the shot or lose your job. And then you think of your family at home that's going to go hungry. I mean, they say they didn't force anybody to take it, but I would.
Oh, they did.
They did.
Of course they did.
Again, it doesn't help us to be so condemning of these people who are still under the spell, still trust the system. Some of these people, I know them personally. They're the nicest people on earth. And it's that trusting nature. Honestly, like, this is just, yes, we have all these beautiful qualities that the devil has just, you know, the vampire has vampired our people. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to not, we can't, I don't want to be, you know, so hard on our people.
I'm not hard. I'm just detached from them, Monica. I'm detached emotionally. I watch them. I will watch them go into their slow, agonizing death, the same as I would watch two dogs that had a dog fight and then they go their different ways. I don't really feel a lot of empathy or pain with them. I just say, they're going there. This is how I look at them. I say, oh, you got it vaccinated. Oh, now you're complaining about this and complaining about that. I don't have any. It doesn't touch me any more than if I see something on television or something. I don't watch TV, but you know what I mean? Like I've gotten over that of trying to think that I have to help them because they've had their time. They've had their chance.
If we can just kind of pull from it that if we can help our people wake up as we see all these people dying of turbo cancers and heart issues, younger and younger. And if we could just, instead of allowing this to go on as if, oh, well, that's just coincidence, just draw these parallels so that when the next comes around, like, we can't change what they put in their bodies. They can't change it. But the next one, when they push this measles, whatever vaccine, because now they're pushing, oh, there's been another measles death, which is all baloney. It's all made up because they want to really push this next one hard. And remember, Bill Gates said, oh, the next one they'll notice. Like, oh, my goodness. So that we're ready for that. So that's where we need to help people to understand that even though they might have done it to themselves, but you can't necessarily get it back out of your body, but to not fall for the next one and to wake up those people who, you know.
Monica, I'm going to say it too straight. Anybody who goes now and rolls up their sleeve because they're crying about some pandemic, I would, like I said, I would actually says, hey, well, I don't drive a car anymore because of my eyes. But if I did, I'd say, hop in the car. I'm going to drive you to the doctor. Get a vaccination in your left arm, your right arm, and your left ass cheek and your right ass cheek. And you can ask for my boosters. I don't want them. You can have them too. I don't want you to get sick. So get all these shots. You know, that's what I do.
We should probably wrap it up, Alfred. I think we're kind of spiraling here, but let's kind of wrap it up.
Anything
more about the reverse engineering and just that, you know, people can find your videos on this channel? All these videos that are like 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, you know, whatever, 9 years old.
Good. I would say some of these older videos, I find them actually more valuable now than they were when I produced them, because you could see how this has unfolded. Like my 1984 video, which was done in 2017, well before this pandemic stuff, I said they will be coming and injecting us with vaccines, with nerve agents and so forth, mm-hmm. forcing us to take them and stuff like that. And then just a couple of years later, look what happened. You know, they did just that. So
exactly.
I say my videos are best from youngest to oldest. Like you start with, for example, memes, yep. understanding memes, or 1984. I like that 1984.
Yeah,
video.
I've uploaded those to my Odyssey channel as well. So if people, they can find them there. There's a book you can find called Sorry Mama, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust at theburnsreview.org. What else? We're both on X. And but FTJ Media rocks, and we want to thank the people at FTJ Media.
I'd say FTJ Media, like, we're just beginning now, getting to know it, but it has got real potential, and I'm very, very happy for FTJ Media, and want to express my personal deepest gratitude and thanks to Dave Gahary and Josh and the G-Man and all these people who are involved in having made this possible. And it's got huge potential. Let's hope it keeps going, because it doesn't get nuked or something like that, you know?
This morning it was a little bit tense there because it was down. I guess they were doing upgrades or something, and we...
Oh, they got a better server, a faster, more powerful server and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So anyway, so I will going to push the button here in a second here that will
stop. We'll say goodbye, Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, everybody, and we're still... kicking like mules, you know. We're not gonna go down easy. Okay, cheerio, bye bye. Live stream stopping live.